We're on this morning with Don Lloyd, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, the Foreign Exchange and Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, good to be back. Thank you. Good morning to you. Hope your summer's going well.
It's going great. I'm looking forward to fall, though. We've had some really hot weather here, and I know that that's a problem for some people, but I'm looking forward to cooler weather.
I want to
begin our conversation this morning talking a little bit about commodity prices. We've seen some of them go up, some of them go down, and I wanted to get your take because I know this is your area of expertise and what this is not only saying about the economy as a whole, but the inflationary issues that we've been dealing with.
Sure, yeah, and it's a real thing. A lot of people believe that commodity prices are a leading indicator when it comes to inflation and predicting the direction that inflation is going to go. The last CPI figure that just recently came out was showing price increases of about just a little over 5%. So, you know, as we stand right now, you know, inflation is starting to creep its way back. Now, whether it can sustain that over the long run or not, we don't know. But just these snapshots are certainly showing it. And it's certainly showing up in commodity prices as well.
Oil, copper, corn, and gasoline futures all about twice what they were about a year ago. That was when we were all locked down and more of us are out doing things now and, you know, working in the economy. Are you one of those who believes that that's probably why we've seen those inflationary pressures and that it's going to settle back down when the economy settles back down a little bit?
Yes, I think that the market has gotten a little bit ahead of itself in this coming out of COVID, you know, now with the Delta variant, that's sort of knocking things back a little bit, and your commodity prices should start to drift back lower because we're starting to see the momentum start to decrease when it comes to the economy on a global basis. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that commodity prices jumped the way they did, as quickly as they did. I'm not surprised that you get a snapshot inflation rate and CPI over 5%, but I think we're probably a little bit ahead of the game right now. But, you know, we still have to go to the pump. We still, you know, companies still have to buy, you know, product and goods to manufacture their things. So, you know, it's a real cost they're facing right now. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it drift a little bit lower as we move in towards the end of the year.
A lot of sectors have seen inventories depleted, and they're trying to restock their shelves and restock their supplies of things. And that's causing supply lines to become jammed. There's pockets of things that are just not available, and that's adding to costs that are obviously being passed on to consumers. That's that transitory inflation that we're talking about, right?
Yep, it's a supply side issue. You know, it's the bottlenecks that are out there. You know, still having trouble moving product from overseas, specifically China. You know, it's the containers. You know, it's just very difficult where the containers are, where they're located. You know, getting them packed up, filled up, and getting into a more equal and equitable position on a global basis. So, you know, to me, these are just short-term temporary blips that occur. Doesn't mean that we're going to go back to, you know, near 0% inflation. I don't believe that because I do think that the economy is picking up. Even with the Delta variant out there, I mean, the Federal Reserve itself said that they don't think that this wave of COVID that has come through is going to derail the economy at all. So, you know, I don't think we're in a big risk of the economy slowing down, interest rates coming down, and you know the pressures coming down of the prices. But I don't think that the current price structure right now, you know, clearly reflects where the prices should be. I think it's just a little bit ahead of itself right now.
Oftentimes, when we see problems in the economy develop, there are money-making opportunities that develop as well. And hedge funds seem to be profiting off of some of the commodity price battle, aren't they?
Particularly in China. If you take a look at what's going on over there, it's actually pretty interesting. China, you know, as you're aware of over, you know, the last 5 to 10 years, certainly the last 5 years, they've relaxed the restrictions and they're allowing more funds outside of China to come into China. So you've got this this relaxing of restriction, if you will, which is causing a lot of inflow into the hedge fund area, the hedge fund industry within China. I mean, I think today It's up to, in a U.S. dollar term, $750 billion of hedge fund money that's sitting over there. And, yeah, now, the thing about a hedge fund is, you know, number one, it's not a hedge. And number two, it's not a fund. I mean, these are very speculative in nature. And, you know, as we emerged from COVID, you know, the first wave of it anyway, a lot of speculators anticipated commodity prices to go up. So they positioned themselves for it. And, you know, they took these funds, they went long, they bought, which created demand, which pushed prices up, which, again, reflect back to the underlying, causing those prices to go up. So it's a loop that feeds itself. So there's a lot of money-making opportunities that are going on. The interesting thing about China is that the Chinese government, they really like to stay in control, and they don't like a lot of volatility. So they are actually pushing back on these hedge funds. They're doing it by creating who was it? It was the state-owned enterprises. That's who it was that came out and said, listen, you state-owned enterprises in China are going to have to start reporting the risks that you have, and we want to see the positions you're running. So that's what they're doing. Show us your positions you have, and let's see what's going on. The other thing that's going on over there is that state-owned stockpiles of metals, copper, aluminum, things like that, they're being released into the market. So supply is going up because the Chinese government is releasing their stockpiles. As that supply goes up, prices come down. So you have this battle that's going back and forth between the government trying to push prices down by increasing supply or making restrictions a little bit tighter, you know, around these hedge funds. And you got the hedge funds who are long on a speculative basis, and they still think the prices are going up. So you've got this, what they want to like settle down the volatility is actually creating more volatility as far as I'm concerned, because now you've got, you know, some pretty big numbers flowing around on both the bids and the offers that are out there. And until we find equilibrium out there, you know, these prices are going to be jumping around pretty exciting way for traders. Let's put it that way.
Let's switch to the Eurozone. They saw some numbers on their PMI that points to continued expansion of business activity and service sector growth, growing for the first time over manufacturing since the pandemic. The Eurozone economy seems to be improving. Is that good news for the rest of the world?
It is, but I think it's going to be fairly short-lived. You know, PMI is the index that I really put a lot of weight on to see how we are emerging and how the economies are coming back. And if you remember, at the peak of the pandemic, PMI in the U.S., for example, was close to 40. And, you know, a PMI of higher than 50 means the economy is expanding. Below 50 means the economy there is contracting. So during the peak of the pandemic, the U.S. was running around 40. Germany, the Eurozone, was somewhere around 38. I mean, lowest that had been, I think, ever, to be honest with you. So, you know, they just had the PMI released, and it came out in August at, you know, 59.5. Now, that's down slightly from the 60.2 previous month. But still well above the 50. So there's, you know, some nice expansion still going out. But everybody's sort of looking at that PMI number saying, well, maybe the momentum's starting to slow down a little bit, or maybe we're starting to, you know, take a little bit of a dip. 59 is still strong, still expanding. So, you know, that's what's sort of going on over there. That was reinforced by the German IFO data that came out. German IFO data, it's the Institute for Economic Research. They're based in Munich. And they just released their data, and it's certainly showing a slowdown of momentum. But the momentum was strong already coming out of this, coming out of the first round of COVID where we are now. So that's why everybody's sort of sitting back wondering, you know, what's the economy going to do? How much is this Delta variant going to slow the economy down and hurt us? And then you've got sort of the Fed that came out and said they don't anticipate the economy to derail, not just in the U.S., but on a global basis as well. So, you know, the PMI is what I really focus on, what I'm really looking at. And the Eurozone, you know, it's doing rather nicely, to be honest with you.
even though the Fed doesn't think the Delta variant and the surge in cases is going to derail the economy, their big meeting that they normally have in Jackson Hole has been moved virtually now because of the increasing number of cases. That's doesn't seem like a good sign to me.
Yeah, certainly when Fed Chairman Powell announced that his speech, his talk, his presentation will be virtual, that sort of put the market back a little bit and raised eyebrows saying, what is he really messaging here? What is he really saying? Now, you know, you got to remember, you know, traders, you know, we're a bunch of paranoid individuals and we're always looking for the hidden meaning in everything that's done. So, we're picking through this with a fine tooth comb. So, you know, when Fed Chair Powell basically said his presentation on Friday will be virtual, everybody started to wonder, well, you know, how concerned is the Fed when it comes to this, the new Delta variant that's out? If they are sort of backing off of face-to-face meetings and group meetings, what does that really say? The market was really looking to see just if there was going to be any indication of the Fed tapering their stimulus back. I mean, right now that's running about $120 billion a month of the Fed coming in, buying securities, and pushing money out into the system, which is their way of keeping interest rates low when they add supply like this. So, I mean, $120 billion of purchases a month is a lot. That's over $1 trillion a year. That's a huge stimulus that the Fed is, they're being very accommodative. So the market is really taking a look to see at what rate of speed they're going to start tapering this back. And they were sort of hoping that they'd get an idea this week, at the Fed's annual economic symposium, which was supposed to be in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They were sort of hoping that there'd be an indication onto the tapering, but now they don't think it's going to. They think it's going to be a very neutral type speech that he's going to give on Friday. You know, we'll see. It's certainly a very different type meeting. I don't think the central bankers are going to be there. The symposium, it's made up of bankers, central bankers, politicians, academians, a lot of different type of people on a global basis. And it's pretty interesting, Steve. They write a bunch of white papers, and then they circulate them prior to this meeting so everybody can read them. And then they present throughout the time up in Jackson Hole. They present, what their papers are about. And then countries look to see how they can partner up and sort of join forces and, hey, we're both working for the same thing, or you have something that I have, or, you have something that I need, and, let's work together. So it's a very, very positive thing. But when Fed Chair basically said, he's going to deliver his speech virtual, that sort of caused some eyebrows to be raised.
Yeah. Are those papers still being circulated? Are we still going to get some of that activity? And, the Federal Reserve Chairman really never comes out and just says in plain language what the Fed is going to do. There's a little bit of, you have to kind of read between the lines. Do we expect him to come right out and say something about the future, or what words are we looking for?
Well, I think what you're looking for is what the Fed's expectation or hope is for tapering and starting to pull back the stimulus they've done. That $120 billion a month, let's see if they're going to pull that back to $100 billion or $90 billion a month. When they do this, when they start to take their foot off the accelerator, and let's face it, the accelerator has been mashed all the way to the floor for some time now. When they start to remove that stimulus and take their foot off the accelerator, or even tap the brakes a little bit, that's just not a 2 month, 3 month proposition. I mean, it can take a year for that to fully come into effect and implement where they want to get to. And with as much stimulus as they have going on right now, at $120 billion a month, it might take more than a year for them to finally reach where they want to get to when it comes to, taking their foot off the accelerator without crushing the brake and sending the markets into a tailspin.
All right, Don, good conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure, absolutely. I'm always available. My number is 866-524-8836.
We'll see you next time, Don. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Take care.